Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
It's Thursday, May 31st, and you're listening or watching Geek at Geek News Central, show number 770, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save 25% on a fourth-generation hosting account by using the promo code NAB. Our June special starts today, $1.99 month economy hosting for 3 months. Use promo code 199GEEK. You know what comes next, folks. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from a barn, yes, a barn, in Quincy, Michigan, via the Geek News Central High Definition Portable Media Studio. Everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. I want to welcome you here. And of course, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all of our great content. You know, we've had an interesting day here. I'm here in my homestead in Michigan, where I grew up, and so I thought I'd have a little fun tonight and actually broadcasting the show from the barn. And you can see, for those of you watching directly behind me, I'm really in a barn, and we'll talk about that more here in a few minutes. But one thing I want to do, I want to share with you guys, of course, that are new and checking out the show. We normally don't do this from a barn. I'm usually in my studio in Honolulu, but I'm here to attend the funeral of my grandfather. Flew in earlier this morning, and so I'll be doing one show here, then we'll be moving on to a new location for the next couple of shows. But I'm going to tell you, if you're new to the show or if you've been here a while, we want to make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. I want you to check out all the great content over there. Of course, you're going to find it easy to subscribe to this show. You can do that via the orange box on the second column of the website. That's got all the access to all the RSS feeds, iTunes, Zoom Marketplace. That's where you're going to be able to get hooked up and connected with the show and stay subscribed. And I think that's the most important thing. One thing you want to do while you're over at the show as well, or over at the site as well, you want to get signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter is really going to be a compilation of everything that I talk about during the show tonight, and I'll be sending that out immediately following the show. Now, one of the challenges of doing a live show from a barn is bandwidth. And being I'm in the country in Michigan, bandwidth is a huge problem as it is. So I've dumbed down the Ustream as low as I can. Everything here is 3G and not a lot of bars. So we're hoping that the recording and the stream stays up and is good for you. So I'm hoping that you'll enjoy the show tonight. And for those of you that are watching live or those of you who catch it later, but we'll talk about the whole situation here in just a few minutes. Of course, if you haven't, if you're not watching the show live, you definitely will want to check us out via, of course, the website. You can find us on Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV. And, of course, I want you to be able to reach out to the show and contact us as well if you have comments on today's show. So it's real easy on Twitter. All you got to do is send me an email at Geek News, and or not an email at Geek News, a tweet via at Geek News, or you can email the show geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, our hotline is available 24 hours a day at 619-342-7365. I want to take just a second here, and I want to thank our sponsors of the show tonight. I want to thank GoDaddy.com for being a longtime sponsor of the show. And we've got a great deal for you. A new June promotion, $1.99 per month economy hosting for the first 3 months. But and you get that code, get that savings by using the promo code 199GEEK. You'll be able to find a link to that in the show notes tonight. You'll be able to click onto that. It'll take you directly to the website. We have our ongoing 25% off deal. available for those of you that are looking for a one-year account at GoDaddy. And really, all you got to do is to find all my promo codes is go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And then once you get on GoDaddy's website, basically pick up your products and services, and then you use the code that best suits you. So really, again, to find all of my promo codes, all you got to do is go to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That'll get you all of the promo codes that are going to be available. They're hot and ready to be used. And again, that $199 geek, and of course the 2-5 May 3 expires in just a few short hours. If you're watching live, you've got a few hours to use that, so definitely check that code out. And you may want to be able to use it, but it'll probably die at midnight tonight, I think Mountain Standard Time. So lots going on. I'm jet-lagged horribly. A pretty rough flight out, left Honolulu at 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon. I got into Los Angeles about 10:30, just walked off one airplane, got on the next, got into O'Hare at 5:15, fully expecting I'd grab my bags and boom, be to the rental car place and be on the road by before 6 and hopefully miss some of the traffic. But that was not to be. When my bags came from the baggage carousel, both bags made it. The high definition mobile broadcast studio made it. So did my suitcase. And I grabbed them off and I hooked them up and I said, something's not right. And it turns out that a cover to the high definition mobile broadcast studio was missing. Yes, the cover, the front cover, thank God the front cover, not the rear cover, was just gone. So, you know, the monitors, and actually let me show you guys, those of you that are watching the show, I think I can turn this and show you that, you know, it's down here is the mobile broadcast studio, and that's how it came out of the luggage rack. And so I immediately went into a panic and trying to figure out what I was going to do. And long story short, there's not a lot I could do. And so they made a file to claim, and I trugged it to the car and got in the rental car and came to Michigan. So one thing that we have learned with the second trip of the new studio is Gator 8U racks that are basically can use to pull our pieces of crap. The latches are not sufficient to survive being shipped on an aircraft. Luckily, I only had minor damage to one of the knobs on the Motu device. So what I'm going to be doing tomorrow, amongst other things, is I'm going to be making a run to Guitar Center, pick up a new case, an SKB case, talk to some folks today on the phone, and has a much better latching mechanism. So we'll be moving the gear over to an SKB a box, and continuing the trip here as I leave out and do what I have to do next week. But pretty crazy. I'm just thankful that the back of the box wasn't open and the all the wires and headsets and everything that was in there didn't spill out and go all over the planet. So but otherwise we're up and running and good, and that's the main thing. But don't know how the stream is doing tonight, pushing on the bandwidth, but we are recording it, of course, to have it up and available for you later. Well, let me look at my list here. We're in the month of June, and of course, I want to thank all of you for being subscribed to the show. That's the most important thing, all the Ohana, those of you that are longtime members of the show, thanks for being here. And of course, if you're new to the show, again, welcome, and welcome to the Ohana. And we'll be back in the studio. We're going to have do three on-the-road shows, starting with this one, and we'll be two more, and then we'll be back in Hawaii for a number of shows as well. Hey, I did want to show you guys, those of you that are watching, and I'll try to do for those of you that are listening, I'll try to kind of walk you around. What's going on here is my mom is building a brand new house, and it's a huge monster of a house. It's not ready to be moved into. Basically I'm doing base of operations today out here in the barn. And we're staying elsewhere, but I just thought it would be fun to do this from the home location. So this is where my mom does her business, and I guess what I'll try to do, if I can do this without screwing it up too bad, is basically show you this is a pretty big pole barn. It's 64 by 36, I believe, is the actual size. Basically behind me are coolers for produce. And, of course, I got a forklift in here. Let's see, this is not turning. Got a forklift in here and a variety of other things that you'd find. So, yes, I am truly in a barn doing the show. And so I thought it would be a little fun. Definitely a change of pace from what I normally do. And let's make sure that's stable. I'm not going to tip over. Okay, all the wires are good. That needs to be adjusted. There we go. Oh, so that's what I get for touching the camera. But otherwise, it's just going to be a normal show tonight. And we'll get into the tech content here in just a second. Okay, let me take care of one last piece of business, and then we'll get into the full tech. We're not going to have a super long show tonight. I grabbed the highlights. I'm not having enough time, really, to do a full show prep as I normally would. But, you know, being on the road, you know, with colleagues back at home and some of them traveling as well, you know, getting everyone together for a meeting can be essentially an impossible task. And so what we've done here is I have a solution for you. It's GoToMeeting with HD Faces. And GoToMeeting with HD Faces is an absolute fantastic product. And I'm trying to straighten out. There we go. It's an absolutely fantastic product. Your team can meet face-to-face in real time using GoToMeeting with HD Faces, just with the webcam on their monitor. Basically, you can see everyone. You can interact. You can see their facial expressions. It's really great. And the best part is it's in HD. And the video quality is simply fantastic. And I think you will like the product. I want you to give it a try. I use it on a daily basis. See how easy it is to use GoToMeeting with HD Faces. As a listener of this show, you can try it for free for 30 days. And don't wait for the special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Be sure to use the promo code PODCAST. Kind of funny, we got friends and neighbors that are stopping by to say hello, so you guys can't see the traffic that's going on right here in front of me. But some people are like, what in the heck are you doing? So anyway, it's kind of fun. You never know who's going to show up here. I think my mom's worker is going to show up here soon, too. So that should prove to be fun as well. All right, let me go ahead and get into the stack before it turns into a big party here at the homestead. Well, let's take a look at some announcements that were made today. You know, my son has started to doing some playing around with the DJing, music. He's having a little fun with it. Today, a company released a new product. Native Instruments released Traktor Control F1, and that's a big mouthful here. But essentially, this thing, and let me bring this up, and this was an article that was over at Engadget, and this is pretty remarkable. You know, they've got, basically you can load a bunch of presets into it. You've got the ability to mix in different sources, cue stuff, and it starts at $279. And this is pretty cool. And it also has an iPad app that goes along with it. And it takes sampling it to really a new arena here. DJs are going to want this, I'm sure. You know, there's boxes from Roland and Akai that have been out there defining this genre for a long time, but this takes the sampling to a whole new level, and you know, really not I'm sure of interest to many of you, but this is an absolutely cool product that for any of you that have been a DJ or want to be a DJ in the future. Another thing that caught my attention, and again another article today over at Engadget, and those of you that have kids in robotics, you're going to want to check this out because it's called the ProtoSnap MiniBot, and the ProtoSpot MiniBot is basically, it's a do-it-yourself robotics car. I guess that's the best way to say it. And this is the ability for a person that wants to build a you know, robot or build any type of device. You can build this up from scratch. And they've got a bunch of components that you can use and stuff that you can move from a prototype to a permanent arrangement. There's an onboard selection of components as well. And you can, it's basic, there's some IR sensors. So again, this is kind of a cool kit project that if you've got a kid that's in robotics, and I can't wait to get home and show my son this because he's going to see this and just go nuts. And of course, obviously think about the potential possibilities of building is. And I'm sure this is going to be in classrooms across the country. And it's going to, obviously, you know, they're titling this to be as a bridge from more simplistic robotic kits to more advanced projects and even all the way up through the university level. So we'll see where this goes. And but a very cool kit, to say the less, say nonetheless. But anyway, what, my sister's coming in here. It's okay. What do you need in here? You need something in here? You need keys? This is truly a podcast because we're getting interrupted midstream. And she doesn't want it. She didn't want to be on camera. She's wearing a hoodie. Now this door doesn't want to shut. Oh, my gosh. Okay, there it goes. Now I can lean forward. There was some stuff going on this week at an event. I think it's All Things Digital. It's the Wall Street Journal's executive conference. And a bunch of announcements were made. The Apple CEO, Tim Cook, was on, obviously, and had some stuff to share that was reported on yesterday in the news. But Google, Sundar Pichai, I'm probably pronouncing his wrong name incorrectly, confirmed that Google is going to be bringing Drive to basically making it available so it can be used in an offline status in about 5 weeks. And he's also hinted that there may be a ad-supported Chromebook. Now, there was a new Chromebook and Chrome, I guess it almost looks like a Chrome Mini, that was introduced a few days ago as well. I'll see if I can get a link to that in the show notes. But if they're going to bring to market an ad-supported Chromebook, that's pretty exciting stuff. But at the same time, the two new Chromebooks that were announced, one was a Chromebook and the other one was basically looked like a little Mac Mini type of device, shows that Google continues to be serious about the Chrome platform. And so we'll see where this goes as time goes on. But a good interview and some things to look at. So I don't know how many of you are using Google Drive already, but you know that the limitation of that is you can't use it in an offline status. So let me go ahead and switch gears here a little bit and talk about Microsoft. Microsoft is confirming that their upgrade path and pricing for Windows 8 is going to be $14.99 for those buying a new PC. So if you go out and buy a Windows 7 capable PC, you're going to be able to purchase a Windows 8 Pro upgrade for $14.99. That offer is going to be valid through January 31st of 2013. Now, we don't know what's going to happen for those of us that already have Windows 7. We're probably going to be stuck with $149 or $249 upgrade price. But if you buy Windows 7 now, you're going to get access to Windows 8 as a very inexpensive upgrade. And this upgrade upper is rolling out in about 131 markets starting on June 2nd. So don't buy that new PC until at least this coming Saturday, okay? Along with that, there's a new device out. It's called the iRig Mic. It's put together from IK Multimedia. I got the press release on this today. I saw a couple of sites had reported on it as well. And matter of fact, I had missed this particular device at CES, and I guess they debuted it, and they finally are now coming to market. So let me give you a quick look at this image. But if you look at this, this is a little mic that plugs right into your iPhone and or your iPad, and you got the ability to use a much higher quality recorder. Now, it's going to set you back about $40 or £29 in the UK, and also includes a stand for your handheld inside the box. So this is a pretty nice little device. It's pretty thin, something you can stick in your pocket or have available in your computer bag. But again, a new way to record. Get a good high-quality recording for your iPhone, your iPod, your Touch, and the iPads, of course. So voice recording microphone from the folks at IK Multimedia. It's called iRig Mic Cast. need to have one more hand here today. The next article up is talking about AT&T cutting prices on international data roaming, and it's basically gone easier on overages. So here's what they're trying to do. AT&T is trying to address a bill shock. Many people have had this, get hit in the face with a huge bill when they've traveled internationally. You know, I was very leery when I traveled to Japan in November. We made sure we turned on the international plan. I was checking and seeing how much data I was using every day. So the baseline price is up from last year at $30 per month, but you're going to get 120 megs of data versus the 50 that you used to get. And the next step costs less than before. So you'll be able to step up at a couple of different levels as well. You can go up to $60 versus paying the old $100 fee, and that ups your data to 300 megs. So you can get, again, $30. You can get 120 megs of data. This is for international travel, of course. And then for $60, you can get 300 megs. So AT&T's maximum allotment is still a relatively modest 800 megs at $120. So what they're going to be doing, though, is that you're going to have less overages. And let's see, what did they also say here? There's something about they had some prevention in here. I guess that's it. So in other words, a little bit less money for I get to save money for more data, which is good. But still, I'm going to tell you, 120 megs. This show, just streaming right now, and I'm using the iPad hotspot connection. It'll use 256 megs just to stream this show for less than an hour. So be aware, you can go through some data in a hurry when it comes to video and stuff. And the international, you should really restrict yourself to text, to emails. Don't do too much web browsing and so forth. In the science and medical news, there's a report out that science have made some impressive advancements in the medical treatment of a paralyzed rat. Now, researchers at EPFL have developed a special electrochemical treatment that can help treat paralysis by encouraging the brain to rewire some of its neural networks to different tasks. And so what they did here is they had a rat that was completely paralyzed, and they treated the rat with these new with this new treatment process, and there was some electrodes being used as well, being implanted in the rat's spinal canal. So over time, basically, the stimulation was involved in this process, helped awaken the spinal cord's neurons, which in turn allows the spinal cord to basically learn how to move and function again. The function did not require, and this process did not require, this treatment did require the rat to undergo physical therapy, including using its paralyzed hand legs to walk on a treadmill and so forth. So you think this is kind of crazy that they did this on a rat, but, you know, we could be very close to coming up with a treatment for humans that have been paralyzed. This is exciting stuff that we may be getting to the point in science where people that never had hope of being able to walk again may have a chance to do so. There is a news report out that hackers almost took down Google's CAPTCHA system. Of course, a CAPTCHA system is when you try to log into a website and they ask you to verify by, you know, trying to read the words that they have on a little image, and you have to type that into a box. But apparently some hackers were real close, and they were going to unveil this hack at an event called Stiltwalker, but Google basically patched the issue just a few hours before the event, and these guys got a little bit of eggs on their face, but they had basically identified an issue and were able to get in and basically make the, they could have really done some damage in trying to guess passwords and so forth, but Google shut the door on them, which is good. There is an awesome video over at NASA, and basically showing folks how sound waves behave how sound waves behave in water droplets in zero gravity, and so it's a pretty cool video. I'm going to have a link up in the show notes for you. It's available on YouTube. It's available on Popular Science. It's available on the NASA page. But this is pretty incredible. And if you've got, you know, if you've got kids that are, you know, got an interest in science, this is absolutely awesome. It just so quickly demonstrates something that would take, you know, an hour to explain in a classroom. You can just see it in an instant and go, oh, I got it. These guys are doing some cool stuff, making some cool videos on the International Space Station. And, but anyway, you got to check it out. And there was a vacuum involved as well. So, that's all I can say. I read an article today, on a website, and I'm going to leave the website's name out, but I'm sure they're going to be bashed, in the space, well-known tech blog, that basically, I mean, just came out and ravaged TechCrunch Disrupt and the TechCrunch team and how it's basically this big... this is just like, you know, people declaring war on another company's events. And basic part of the article says, TechCrunch Disrupt is a tech conference that makes a lot of money for TechCrunch and gives a little bit of attention to tech startups. It's a place where people are overly optimistic, eye-bugglingly enthusiastic, and entirely removed from reality. A company for buzzwords that don't mean anything, hollow phrases that sound nice together, and proponents of a dictionary exercised of vowels. Wow. Amazing. And, you know, I've talked about this with my team as well. You know, you're seeing all these tech startups getting funding, and I'm happy for them that they do, but some of these startups have got these, like, beyond weird ideas for an actual program or for an actual service. And you think, how's that ever going to make money? Like, given millions of dollars, sometimes I really don't understand the process VCs go through. I guess if they figure if they throw enough cash out there, one's gonna catch. But it just seems awful odd. It does, and some of the stuff that they come up with. All right, next article up tonight is over at Geek News Central. It's an article that was written by Alan Buckingham talking about Vitabox, and they're introducing Power over Cat 5 charging. So this is pretty cool. So what's going on is Vitabox is a maker of high-end media center computers and media servers. Today announced a brand new product that brings charging capacity to your Cat 5 cables. And there's two products, the V Power Station and the V Charger. And according to Alan, this is the first manufacturer in this field that have basically done this. Basically, the V Power Station can connect to a single Cat 5 cable up to 328 feet and provide steady power to the V Charger, which is a powered USB port. Now, both products, the V-Power and the V-Charger, retail for $99 each, and the purchase of a 4 V-Chargers will get you a free V-Power station. You can order a video box to check this out. So, basically, they're giving you the ability to charge your devices anywhere in your house, so long as you've got a V-Charger and a USB cable connected to your Cat 5 and working with the V-Power station. Now, I don't know how that's going to affect your actual LAN connection or not, but... Anyway, that's what's available. It's what they've announced. Pretty cool and definitely a unique product. Would probably be used in some unique situations. Next article up is another article written by Alan talking about the Google Nexus tablet to be priced at $149. You know, there's been a load of information floating around the internet the past few days regarding this, and it's been pretty much confirmed as a real product. It's only technical specs are just still rumors. And then, of course, the Rumor Control has also been pegging the price at $199, but they feel that at this point it's going to come in at about $149, according to Slash Gear. So we'll see what happens with this. They're reporting that the device will feature a quad-core Tegra 3 processor and the latest version of Android operating system, although not 5.0 Jelly Bean, as some sites have been reporting. So I think $149 tablet, that especially if it's color and it's running Droid, I think you got a winner there. I really do. So we'll keep an eye on this. If you're traveling to Japan and you're worried about the radiation issue there with you know, everything that's been going on since the tsunami, earthquake and tsunami. SoftBank has unveiled a radiation scanning phone. SoftBank is, basically in Japan, it's, you know, synonymous with like what we would consider AT&T or Verizon. They're a very large phone carrier. And so they've introduced the Pantone 5 SoftBank 107SH Android smartphone, and it will have an integrated radiation detector, be able to detect estimated gamma radiation from between 0.05 and 9.9. All you got to do is press a button to activate the radiation detector feature, wait 10 seconds to take a reading. It'll place the location that reading was taken onto a map. So they're debating whether or not they're going to add a social aspect to this where it will tweet the radiation amount. This is cool. And it's going to be available in 8 colors. So you'll be able to get the radiation detector in a multitude of cool colors, along with having a phone. How many of you have done a Google search for a product and seen a listing and clicked on it and it's took you to Amazon or B&H or to Target? You know, oftentimes when I'm looking for a product, like this afternoon, I was obviously kind of in a mild panic here trying to figure out how I was going to fix the HD portable broadcast system. And so I went online and I was starting to do some comparisons. I was typing SKB and some of the keywords. It was showing me a list of different products and services. I was clicking through and it kind of dawned on me, boom, there's a Guitar Center that's less than an hour away from here. Maybe they've got them, got on the phone, called them. They had one. They have one holding for me, a new box, a better box. Again, I'm never going to use Gator products anymore because of the latches. But long story short, Google is moving to all paid Google product search listings. So they're transforming its formerly free Google product search into Google Shopping. Now, this is a new vertical that will only be stocked with products that companies have paid to place there. Now, this is a big change for Google, which basically could stand against what's called paid inclusion. So now you may not get as good a results when you're looking for products and services. And this is very troubling. Now, this article was over on GigaOm, and I think any of us that have searched for a product on Google will, let's see if I can blow this up, will recognize, it doesn't work real good for those of you watching because it's only a little bit of the screen. But, you know, you usually got an assortment of companies that you were able to choose from, and then you'd go to it and link, and you could actually buy right there online. So I was, quite frankly, I'm very disturbed about this, and we'll see how it works out. And, you know, I guess what we're going to have to do now is, instead of relying on Google, we're going to have to go to multiple resources. We'll have to go to Amazon. We'll have to go to B&H. We'll have to go to other sites and check on pricing instead of just kind of using Google to, for a better word, do that work for us. For the manufacturers that can afford to advertise, I guess that's smart and the way to go. All right, those of you that are following what we do at Tech Podcast Network, you want to definitely check out our latest roundtable. We talked about the Servio Live Shell and PowerPress version 4.0. Jeffrey Powers and I did this this past weekend before I left for Michigan. And Jeffrey actually does the review on the Servio Live Shell, which I actually have in a bag. Not using it tonight because of the bandwidth situation, but there is the review, of course, of PowerPress as well. So definitely check that out. And this Servio Live Shell, I'm going to be fun using that next week. I'm looking forward to that. All right. It's being reported that Google Events feature is on its way with a tie-in to Google Calendar. So there's going to be more integration on Google Plus. And there's Mom. You want to say hi, Mom? Can you? So you headed out. Oh, and she's showing off Chantel's showing off Jenny the house. Yeah. So. Don't worry. People have been wandering through. But anyway, this Google's putting a lot of effort into making Google Plus social network thing more robust. And what they're going to be doing here is turning. you know, they're going to be turning this into a viable competitor. And, you know, one of the major features Google Plus was missing was the support of scheduling and sending invitations for sharing media for events and so forth. And this is something that Facebook has done very well over the years, so we'll see where this leads. But nice a new feature, introducing events in Google Plus. And so anyway, it's been making rounds, people getting it turned on little by little. As a reminder tonight, you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline, of course, is available 24 hours a day at 619-342-7365. We're Twittering at geeknews. Of course, we are live from a barn tonight. Those of you that are joining us live a little bit late in the show, we're here in Michigan at my homestead where I grew up. Instead of being in the studio in Honolulu, I am quite literally in the corner in a barn. Right behind me is all the tools and different stuff. So, you know, kind of fun. And maybe we'll do more of this kind of stuff where when I'm on the road, I'll do the show from quirky places. And you know what it really was? With so many family members here, I just needed a place to kind of not be bothered too much. And have a place where I could do some work and at the same time be able to do the show. So this is why I picked the barn. All right. Google has applied for more than 50 new domains, including .lol, .youtube, .google, .docs, and a variety of others. They've submitted an application fee for each, costing $185,000. So if you know, you do the math there, 50 times 185,000, they have spent some serious money. Of course, you know, it's probably just a drop in the bucket for them. But the top domain level application window closed yesterday, and we will see where this leads. ICANN has received more than 1,900 applications, which would bring an estimated $350 million in application fees to ICANN, which is huge. So be interesting to see what all of the actual submitted top-level domains were and see what's going to be forthcoming. Hey, again, big congratulations, huge congratulations to the team at SpaceX. The folks over Ars Technica are reporting that Dragon spacecraft made a perfect splashdown. It splashed down near California at 8:42 local time this morning, and this is really capping off an almost flawless mission that... This was amazing that this was really essentially a test flight. And so lots of stuff going on. And they used the new special purpose Dextrous Manipulator, which is a multi-arm robot to inspect Dragon's non-pressurized trunk. The trunk had no cargo for this demonstration mission, so the inspection was strictly a dry run and showed that there was no stowaways aboard or nothing in there. So obviously some of the stuff that's going to be brought to the International Space Station in the future will reside outside the station, and that portion will be removed from future cargo craft by Dextr. So very, very cool. So it you know, basically the spacecraft departed the International Space Station 4 hours earlier. And so there's a lot of eyes watching on this, but they had a very successful landing in the Pacific Ocean. Now, I don't know what they actually used to, you know, I'm sure they had, I don't know if they had a helicopter. There was no additional pictures, but I guess everything worked as it was supposed to. And so this is absolutely outstanding. And they said they hit the bullseye where they wanted to, at 27 north by 120 west, and a nearby SpaceX barge, oh, that's what it was, motored towards the spot as the NASA aircraft circled to relay spotty video back to both SpaceX and NASA headquarters. So very, very cool. There was a press conference, and there's some press release data I have links up to as well. All right, the RIAA has asked that they want to issue unlimited takedown to Google. They're basically saying if Google really hated piracy, it would let copyright holders supply takedown lists of unlimited length. And that's a view of the recording industry, which posted this on their blog yesterday. So, you know, they weren't happy with what they did last year and the tens of thousands of downloads that they had submitted. But we know that over 380,000 takedowns were done on behalf of Microsoft alone. NBC Universal did 209,000. British Trade Group BPI did 193,000. Takedown Piracy LLC did 133,000. So it wasn't like these guys didn't submit a lot of takedown notices, but we'll see. And I don't know what the actual limitation is right now, if Google has said so many a day or so forth, but the RIAA wants to issue, I guess, tens of thousands of takedowns at every instance. More news on Oracle. The Oracle case has been crippled after a judge rules that APIs cannot be copyrighted. This is a major victory in its legal fight. Basically, with Oracle over the use of Java in Android, he says, so long as a specific code used to implement a method is different, anyone is free under the Copyright Act to write his or her own code to carry out exactly the same function or specification of any method used in the Java API. The judge wrote in a ruling released on Thursday. So this is big. I mean, Google has essentially just crushed Oracle in their copyright infringement case. And I'm sure this is a big disappointment for them. But this, you know, obviously is going to, probably limit any damages at all that Oracle's going to be able to get out of them. Now, an interesting development here, TV network executives are saying that anything that causes cable subscribers to cut the cord is illegal. So those of you that are watching this show right now on the internet, via your mobile device or wherever, whatever you may be using, what I want you to do is I want you to call the cable company and I want you to tell them that you're cutting the cord because Todd told you so. Okay, Todd of Geek News Central, make sure you tell him that. And so that way the TV network executives can come after me for telling you to cut your cord. So obviously that headline's a little inflammatory, right? The TV networks are not happy with the skipping of commercials. They're not happy with companies like Arrow and so forth that are making it easier for people to get their television content from a different source. So they're basically saying the companies are building businesses. It's appearing like a felony interference with a business model. So in other words, he used the word felony. This is a felony for causing people to change the way to essentially change the way they get their content. And so the judge was a little bit kind of like, huh, really? Anyone that causes someone to cut the cable would be considered illegal? And so the judge kind of pushed him back a little bit on that. But just goes to show you that the TV networks are going to fight until they have their way. And believe me, they are a multi-billion dollar business. They are going to do everything they can to keep their business model intact. And they do not want you cutting the cord. You know, think about this pack last week. This pack was, we're going to, Comcast, Time Warner, all the cable companies got together and said, we're going to let all our cable customers log into our Wi-Fi while they're out and about town. They find a Time Warner connection. If you were a Comcast customer, you can log in and use that. So basically what they're trying to do is they're trying to tie this up and they're trying to keep the sheep from leaving the herd. They want you to be so dedicated to their services that you will not go anywhere else to look for alternative solutions. Unfortunately, the majority of folks are just going to continue to consume media and send the cable company a $200 check every month. Time will tell if digital starts to make an impact, but, cable cutting is not going on as fast as I think it should, but time will tell. I know many of you already have cut the cord. We cut the cord for a year. Then when I went to CES, my wife put the basic cable back on so she could have access to some of her channels she couldn't get digitally. So, but as soon as I can prove to her that she can get all the content she was missing digitally, we will take not a second less time to call the cable company and cancel our service again. All right, Skype CEO Tony Bates has confirmed 250 million monthly users. He's talked about Microsoft partnerships and future plans at the final day of D10. And basically, he was pretty defensive about Skype and what they're doing, and talked about the Quick acquisition and a variety of different things that they're doing. I know a lot of people are very heavy users of Skype. I know that I use it a lot. So pretty cool stuff. But again, I'll have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. Again, as I said, a quick show tonight because basically we're here at Mom's and we're basically trying to get ready for a funeral. But I needed to get a show knocked out. But those of you in Jersey, if you're buying stuff from Amazon, next year they're going to start collecting taxes, sales tax. You know, if you get ready to do that Amazon purchase and you all of a sudden see a sales tax added to it, don't be surprised. I pre-warned you. But again, you got a little time left here, obviously. But beginning of July of next year is when they're going to do that. All right, I had a few emails come into the show tonight. And again, as always, you can email me, tweet me at Geek News. You can also email me geeknews@gmail.com. Or you can call our voicemail hotline. It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 619-342-7365. And I don't know how the stream's been going. We're definitely on limited bandwidth tonight, so hopefully it's surviving. But I got an email here from Tim. He said, "Hey, Todd, looks like there will be an ugly restriction or two because the iPhone is going prepaid." And he says, "Hasn't prepaid iPhones been available in Europe since 2007? But there is some details on Apple's iPhones going prepaid in the U.S. Starting in June. I do want to thank Christopher for his note of condolences. I do appreciate that. Got an email here from Billy. He said, "Hey, Todd, while listening to your podcast, I really got annoyed at the stupidity of the Department of Homeland Security's article. What exactly does the Department of Homeland Security hope to accomplish? Are terrorists really going to communicate in the open using actual words instead of simply talking about cake when they mean bomb, etc.? Any serious threat would use encryption and steganography to cover what they were saying. Millions of false positives with the real bad guys not even on the radar. What a huge waste of taxpayer dollars for no benefit of all." The article finally did explain something that I haven't understood for years. Why politicians hate video games. How many agents wasted their time following the activity of video game players who frequently use a large number of the words in their lists just talking about their hobby? And Billy, I agree. You know, I don't know. And I'm sure that they are looking at stuff at multitudes of ways. But, you know, it's all about the big vacuum cleaner in the sky, I guess, and sucking up everything that we do on the internet and making sure that we're not upsetting the apple cart, as to say. And I guess, you know, if you start using all those words in your blogging and in your podcast, you'll probably end up on a no-fly list. Got an email here, says from Ross. "Hey, Andy Walker of Lab Rats Podcast, and also used to be on Call for Help with Leo Laporte when it was recorded in Toronto, posted this photo." And basically what it was, I got this photo from Ross that showed a Pan Am American flight. And let me see if I can actually, I think I can show this. And many of you have seen this before. Let me bring this up so you can see this picture. Basically, this computer was huge. And of course, you can see the naval officers up there in the aircraft, and they're loading this thing with a forklift. This is one of the very, very early computers, and it had about the computing power of, a very basic calculator. It really didn't have that much computing power. But I have had that picture on my desk for a while, so I kind of laughed. He sent that to me. I said, "Yeah, I've had that picture on my desk for years." But anyway, I have a link up in the show notes and for you to check it out for those of you that hadn't seen that picture before. Thanks for Richard for your email, Andrew as well. I got an email from Ramiro. He says, "Hey, Todd, first of all, let me thank you for your show. I've been following you for quite some time now, some years now." He's, "I'm based in Santiago, Chile. And by the way, sorry for your loss. Heard about it in the recent podcast. I'm writing to you because I recently launched MiBuzz.tv. He says, "It's a video social network that helps you save videos that you love, create playlists, and share them with your friends. You can follow channels on YouTube and Vimeo and receive videos being commented on Facebook and Twitter, so it makes it a lot easier for me to share with my friends the great content I have access to. And similarly, it makes it easy to access quality content being recommended by my friends. Can you give it a try? Maybe they'll let you think about it. I have to say, I would love to get your community to know about this. Thanks, regards, Ramiro. Ramiro, I'm definitely, obviously, we're going to send the Ohana over there. Folks, it's mibuzz.tv. I haven't had a chance myself to take a look at it, so maybe we'll get an audience member to comment on the site and the service. I'll try to take some time and take a look as well. Hey, I do want to thank Joe for volunteering to do the show tonight. Turns out we were able to get that out, but Joe, I'm definitely going to keep you in standby for a future show. Also, I got an email from Paul. Paul, it wasn't my dad that died. It was my grandfather. I lost my dad some time ago, but thanks for your message as well. Okay, I got an email here from Randall. He says, hey, watched the Memorial Day show this morning and made me feel very nostalgic for the time when I was a third studio engineer, sequential, not hierarchical, for Montrose Radio, Pirate Radio in Houston, Texas. We were fighting with the FCC, and I mentioned at one of our meetings that if we really wanted to reach people, why don't we just put a simulcast of our broadcasts on the internet? One project lead at the time, a front-end designer developer for some evil commercial site, looked at me and said, nobody is ever going to listen to music on the internet. My, hey, how things have changed today. He says, my tagline for all broadcasts was 94.9 Montrose Radio, from Houston to the world. It has come to pass. So, Randall, yeah, it's pretty cool. We can do online today, streaming and everything else, and even with limited bandwidth out of the barn here in Michigan. you know, I'm able to put this show on. We can go anywhere and do this thing. And believe me, I'm, you know, all I have today is 3G and barely that. And, you know, we're lucky if we have 500 kilobits up on bandwidth. So, you know, I've got everything cranked way down to try to make sure we got the show out and get it online for you tonight. But thanks for watching and thanks for, you know, following up and being part of the Ohana here and being part of the family that watch and listens to the show. All right, last email came from Tim. He say, hey, Todd, video offers a rare glimpse inside Foxconn iPhone factory. And so I'll have that link up in the show notes for you guys to check out as well. Well, I tell you, I've had fun here doing the show from the homestead. And kind of a short show for you tonight, but I do want to appreciate all of you guys for coming out and hanging out with me. Those that were on live, I know we had some people on live.geeknewscentral.com, some of them on the website, some on the actual Ustream site as well. So we'll see how the schedule goes for next week. I may attempt to do a Saturday morning tech. We got to find out if the gear is going to support it and the bandwidth is going to support it. Rob Greenlee and I are going to have some stuff that we want to discuss. We may only be able to do an audio show, so I may patch him in just via audio and do it that way. We'll have to see if it'll work. Basically, how I'm going to patch him in by audio is run an audio jack out of my phone into the broadcast studio, patch him in, and hopefully we can make it work. I don't know if it's going to be completely right, but we're going to give it a try. So try to do Saturday morning tech when I'm on travel like I am now. So I do want to thank, I got a lot of emails that came in on words of condolences on my grandfather's death. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. But I'll let you know how it goes on the rebuild of the monster down here that we lost the cover for. So again, make sure you do not buy any cases from Gator when it comes to an ATA case, because obviously I was not very happy with the end result here. And of course, when I turned that, it got that all jacked up. There we go. That's better. So that's it. Geeknews@gmail.com. You can reach me on Twitter at geeknews, and 619-342-7365 is the hotline. Major jet lagged right now. I'm running on no basically 3 hours sleep in the last about 40 hours. So if I've been punchy tonight, I apologize. It is what it is. I got the show. It's in the bag. Everyone, thanks for hanging out. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.